My guest at this time is Jeffrey Rorda. He's a retired police officer and a four-term state representative in Missouri. He's now business manager for the St. Louis Police Officers Association and author of the soon-to-be-released book, The War on Police, How the Ferguson Effect is Making America Unsafe. And Jeff, thanks very much for being with us.
I'm glad to be here, Greg. And doesn't that title sound ominous right now?
It's certainly appropriate given the subject material we'll be talking about and what we've seen in the news this week. Obviously, much of the attention this week has been on shootings in Charlotte and Tulsa, and we'll get into those cases a bit in a moment. But first of all, what's your read on why the death of Keith Scott in Charlotte triggered major violence and property destruction and assaults on police, while the Terrence Crutcher death was met with prayer and peaceful concerns?
Part of it, I think, is just we're in this era now where facts don't matter. I mean, we've seen that not just in Charlotte, but in other cities where people have gone berserk and acted the way we saw on those first night of protests in Charlotte. In Ferguson, we heard, it's white police officers targeting black men, and there's too many white people in government and too many white people at the top of the police department's command. And none of that's true in Charlotte, yet it doesn't seem to matter. I mean, they were marching down the street saying, "Hands up, don't shoot." And I'm like, you guys do have like cable TV, right? I mean, you've heard that was made up in Ferguson and was not the case in other places as well.
Kerr Putney is the chief for Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police. On Thursday, he offered this a play-by-play for what happened in the case of Keith Scott.
Our officers observed a subject, Mr. Keith Lamont Scott, inside a vehicle at the apartment complex. He exited the vehicle armed with a handgun. The officers observed him get back into that vehicle, at which time they approached the vehicle to engage this subject. The officers gave loud, clear, verbal commands, which were also heard by many of the witnesses. They were instructing the subject, once he got out of the vehicle, to drop the weapon. In spite of the verbal commands, Mr. Scott, as I said, exited his vehicle armed with a handgun as the officers continued to yell at him to drop it. He stepped out, posing a threat to the officers, and Officer Brentley Vinson subsequently fired his weapon, striking the subject.
So, Jeff, assuming the Charlotte police is correct in that account, how do you evaluate the actions of the officer?
Well, these are not easy situations, especially if you're in a state where there's fewer restrictions on open carry or carry concealed. That really makes assessing these situations more difficult for officers. But in this case, I mean, it's clear that the man wasn't, just didn't have a gun in a holster. He had the gun out. He's flourishing it. The officers are there, effecting a serious arrest. While he's not the guy they were trying to arrest, I keep hearing reporters say, this isn't even the guy that he was trying to arrest. We don't know that the officers didn't think that this was a guy. That's never been made clear. So you tell the guy to drop the gun, and now you're in this tenuous standoff. And the moment he makes any movement that appears to be raising the gun, I mean, it's absolutely a deadly force situation. And, I got to say this, I hate that the man's dead, but it's better than a cop being dead. And I don't want what's happened in Ferguson and Baltimore and Staten Island, Milwaukee, to keep cops from responding appropriate with deadly force. And that's what it sounds like happened here.
And elaborate on that a little bit more, because some people have said in these situations, why do they always end up killing the suspect? Why can't they just wound them and it basically immobilize them? It sounds like in the moment that that's not necessarily an option.
Right. Well, I mean, this isn't like a rerun to Barnaby Jones where he shoots a gun out of the guy's hand every time. That's not real life. It's hard to hit appendages when you're shooting at a piece of paper that is stationary. When a guy's moving around, when you're in the high stress situation of a standoff with an armed subject, The training, and this officer followed his training, is to fire center mass, because that's the hardest part to miss. It is the area of a person's body where it is most likely to stop their action and end the threat. The unfortunate part is that, you know, that's where all your vital organs are. You know, if our vital organs were in our arms and legs, we'd never kill anybody, because, you know, we'd still be shooting for center mass. We don't shoot to kill, we shoot to stop, and that's what happened in this situation.
In the Tulsa case, you can see from the video, of course, that Crutcher, for the most part, does have his hands up. The officer there, Betty Shelby, has now been charged with first-degree manslaughter. The argument she's making through her attorney is that Crutcher repeatedly refused to obey verbal commands, which sounds a lot like what Chief Putney said in Charlotte as well. So what is the protocol when it comes to verbal commands and a lack of obeying those commands?
Well, I mean, you don't shoot somebody just because they're not listening to you. You shoot them because they're presenting what you perceive to be a deadly threat. You know, in that case, it's a little harder. I'm not going to deny that the video is hard to watch, and it's hard to square up. And, you know, while my job is to defend cops, you know, she may have overreacted. She may have panicked. But is that a crime? I mean, being scared and panicking in that situation is just humanity. It's not a crime, but we don't even know that she did anything wrong. You know, she arrived at the scene. You've got a 911 call that a man who appears to be under the influence of something has stopped his car in the middle of the road, blocking both directions, and is lumbering around his car, saying things incoherently. You know, so and I keep hearing, God, this aggravates me. I keep hearing, you know, this is just a poor man with his car stalled. The car's in running condition, by the way. The engine's running. They check the car. The car's drivable. It's not some, you know, stranded motorist that the police just showed up and decided to execute. They get this call, and from what I understand it, from an African-American woman who says, you know, that this guy, you know, appears to be agitated, possibly under the influence of controlled substance. She gets there. The female officer gets there, Betty. She's trying to, interact with the man. He won't take his hands out of his pockets. He won't follow commands. When he responds to her, which he doesn't really do much, it's incoherent and muddled. And, you know, everything about this situation appears to be drug-related. This is an area of town where WAC or PCP is prevalent, and you know, she's trained to recognize the influence of drugs and believes that he's under the influence of drugs, probably PCP, which those folks are very dangerous. I don't know how many of your listeners have ever had to fight a guy who's on PCP or meth, but it ain't fun. So, you know, she's giving him orders. He's not complying. He's walking away from her at one point, and that's when the video picks up with his hands up. But he's still not listening. He's still not dropping to his knees as she's ordering him to do. And then he gets back to the car, and he reaches in the car, and she perceives that as a threat that he's going to produce a weapon. And maybe she saw something that she thinks is a weapon. I mean, we're still getting details of this. I mean, maybe she wasn't justified in deadly force, but it very, very likely that I think she is, but maybe she isn't. But again, is that really a crime? Is that a chargeable felony that's going to end this officer's career and put her behind bars? I don't know that squares up with our values as a country.
Well, that case has now entered the system. We're speaking with Jeffrey Rorta, a retired police officer, four-term state representative in Missouri. He's now the author of the forthcoming book, The War on Police, How the Ferguson Effect is Making America Unsafe. And Jeff, just a couple quick questions before we let you go. First of all, since you were very much in the midst of all the unrest in Ferguson, we're now seeing, of course, wall-to-wall media coverage again. Again, what's your evaluation of how the media approaches these stories?
I'll give the media a little, and I'm a little bleary-eyed because I've been in the studio with CNN the last three nights and until 1 o'clock the last two nights. So I think the media is learning lessons too. I think they could do a lot better job. I think that they do not disclose facts sometimes that don't fit in the narrative. I had to say it two or three times while I was being talked over on Tuesday night that they recovered PCP from Mr. Crutcher's car because I wanted to get it out there on CNN where I had never seen that reported that whole day, even though it was in other media that Mr. Crutcher was on or was in possession at least of PCP. So that's the media has to report all the information they have. They can't pick and choose things that fit in their narrative or don't fit in their narrative. And that's for the far left and the far right. I mean, a more conservative outlet should be reporting all the facts too, even if they don't square up with the story that they believe happened. That's the heavy, heavy burden that the media has, and they ought to treat it like the sacred duty that it is.
And lastly, Jeff, this issue will undoubtedly come up Monday night in the presidential debate. What do you want to hear from the presidential candidates on this issue?
Well, I want to hear a plan moving forward. And I can tell you, I'm a Democrat, but I've been so disgusted with President Obama and now Secretary Clinton's rush to judgment in these cases and pre-judgment of police officers that I can't hardly sleep at night. We're in a society where there's a rule of law, and cops have the same due process rights as everybody else, the same presumption of innocence, and we just are not hearing that out of some of the politicians at the highest ranks of our political system.
Jeff, we'll call time there. We'll have you back as we get closer to your book's release date in November. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks, Greg. Enjoyed coming on.
Thank you, sir. Jeff Rorta is a retired police officer, a four-term state representative in Missouri. He's now business manager for the St. Louis Police Officers Association and author of the forthcoming book, The War on Police, How the Ferguson Effect is Making America Unsafe. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.